Today on the TV Time Machine, we welcome Wells Adams of The Bachelorette. Mr. Adams was one of the top contestants on this season's edition of the program, vying for the attentions of the Bachelorette herself, JoJo Fletcher. Over the next segment, Wells Adams will talk about his remarkable experience on The Bachelorette, which airs Mondays at 8 p.m. on ABC. Again, for those of you intrepid enough to be thoroughly eligible, feel free to step out of your limo as we leave our bachelor pad of the past so we can play Ring Around the Rosie in the present. Wells, thank you for coming on board the TV Time Machine.
Jim, thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Now, you're one of the lucky gentlemen who were vying for the affections of JoJo Fletcher on this season's edition of The Bachelorette on ABC. Now, Wells, tell us about yourself and what inspired you to become one of the beaux on The Bachelorette?
Okay, real quick, I grew up in Central California in a place called Monterey. I had a radio show when I was in high school, did broadcast journalism throughout college, and then I landed in Nashville where I now host two different radio shows. I do a morning show on an alternative station, and I do an afternoon drive show on a classic rock station. That's like kind of a synopsis of my life and how I got here. To be honest with you, like, I will go audition for commercials and stuff in Nashville a lot, not because I want to be on TV, but because it presents amazing content for my radio shows. And that was kind of the driving force initially behind auditioning for The Bachelorette. Now, my casting story was a bit different. My brother, my oldest brother, was actually going to be on the show years ago, like 6 or 7 years ago.
Wow.
And he bailed out right at the last second. And when I became single about a year ago, he was like, hey, I want to connect you with some of these casting directors that are my friends. And, you know, I think you'd be really good for this show. So initially it was like, let's just see how far down the rabbit hole we can go with this. And if nothing else, I'll just have this amazing radio content about, you know, auditioning for The Bachelorette. And then at some point it started to spiral out of control. And I realized that I think they really might want me on this television show. And at that point I was like, you know what? You know, they've offered this to less than 1,000 people in the history of the world. This is an amazing opportunity. All of the traditional forms of dating for you have failed miserably. Why not go and do this adventure? And once I kind of had that realization, I was like very, very excited for the experience.
So since you were gainfully employed, what kind of preparation goes into something like this? How were you able to put your life on hold for that period of time while you were filming the show?
It was a lot of logistical maneuvers, if you will. My radio stations are owned by iHeart, and to be honest with you, they knew about this from Jump Street, and they were really supportive and excited about the idea of it. So they were just like, do whatever you got to do. We'll make it happen. And what I did was I ended up recording a bunch of my shows into the future so people wouldn't know that I was gone.
Okay.
And I'm sorry if that, like, kind of, I don't know, makes my radio show seem a little less authentic, but it's what I had to do because there is no, like, replacement for me. I don't have, like, someone waiting in the wings to, like, do my show.
Right.
But it was weird. Like, you don't know how long you're going to be gone, right? Like, so it could be as little as 4 days or it could be as much as 2 months. So I didn't know what I was going to do. I just recorded as much as I possibly could. And then I left. So yeah, I was gone for a little over a month, and wow, luckily iHeart was really, really supportive and helped me do it. I mean, there was obviously like legal hula hoops we had to jump through as well, because I'm already part of a media corporation going on to another form of media. So we had to kind of figure that out with lawyers and stuff. But in the end, it worked out beautifully, and I'm so excited that that my bosses were cool with it.
So you explained how you got into The Bachelorette. So what was your first day like on The Bachelorette? How were you feeling about that?
My first day on The Bachelorette?
Yes.
Well, the first day on the Bachelorette is when you get out of the limo. And I don't know if you remember, but I had kind of a unique exit out of the limo. I got out with the 90s sensation of All for One singing I Swear to JoJo and myself, which was like the one time in my life that I've been able to like call in the radio favors and like finally look cool with that. And I like love those guys. They're awesome. And that was a funny moment because I was so nervous, and which is out of character for me because I'm used to being, you know, on mic all day. But it was obviously a different beast, and there's cameras and crew and everything. And I remember All for One in the limo being like, "You look really, really nervous." And I think we all like took a shot of Fireball in the limo to like calm our nerves. And and they were awesome. Like they really like kind of soothed me, and they were like, "Don't worry, you're gonna be fine. We'll take care of this for you." And yeah, kind of started really. Really awesomely for me, to be fair. Like I think I had one of the best entrances of that first night. So that's how it kind of started. And then, you know, I think I kind of had a target on my back right in the beginning because I, you know, I did a cappella band with me and everyone's like, "Who the hell is this guy? Who does he think he is?"
JoJo, I give you All for One.
I swear.
Oh my God,
I love this song. This
is good.
I'll love you.
Thank you.
Thank you, guys.
You guys did one for him.
That's a big move right there. I'd say Wells is leading the pack right now. I mean, who can compete with that?
So that first night was a little awkward. Then you're just kind of like trying to basically stay sober the whole night. Because it's a long night, and there's a lot going on, and you don't know how the gears and the clock work yet, so you're kind of trying to figure it all out. You're kind of just going with the flow. So, yeah, it's a very stressful evening, but for me, it was fun. But the end of it, I was so tired. I mean, the sun's coming up when we finish filming that first day.
Wow. Now, on that first night, some guys were imbibing. It kind of got out of control. Was it like that in person? Did it really kind of get out of control? Were you surprised that guys were really getting that hammered?
Yeah, I guess it was surprising. Like, the number one rule is, like, don't get wasted on the first night, right? Like, that's, I feel like everyone knows that, you know? Yeah. Don't get wasted on the first night. Don't jump in the pool. Those are, like, the two rules of the Bachelor and the Bachelorette. Well, and inevitably, people do it. So, I guess I was surprised, but I wasn't surprised. It was like, I remember saying, like, someone's jumping in that pool, which is, who's it going to be? But then you also have to understand a lot of people are very nervous, and the way a lot of people cope with anxiety is to try to kind of get a nice little buzz on. But the way that the night goes, it goes for so long that it's hard to kind of maintain that, like, cool buzz throughout the night, and it kind of just starts to spiral out of control for some people. That was, like, one of the only nights that I stayed very sober on the show, because I knew that, like, they're just waiting for someone to make a big stupid mistake, like Daniel jumping in the pool,
right?
Which was beautiful.
So on that first night, when you first laid eyes on JoJo, what was your first impression? What struck you most about her?
That girl can wear a dress.
Okay.
She is. I mean, you know, it was just a very weird thing, right? Because I know her through the prism of the show she was on prior, right? But she knows nothing about me, so it's a lot of me trying to explain who I am to her on that first night. But if you think that she looks beautiful on television, which she does, it pales in comparison to, like, the real thing. So, yeah, she was gorgeous, and she was nervous too that night, which was weirdly comforting to me because I remember being like, "I am very, very nervous." And she was like, she's like, "I'm nervous too. Let's just be nervous together," kind of a thing. And that made me less nervous. And, yeah, so she right off the bat was drop dead gorgeous. And then also, like, good in like making me feel good, I guess, and making me feel better about the situation.
Well, she was probably nervous because obviously she was on the other side of the equation for this show. So it was a totally different situation for her.
Yeah, and she'd probably been, I think she had been removed from being on camera for quite some time. So you kind of forget, I don't know, you forget, it takes a little bit to get comfortable with all that commotion around you and to kind of like, forget that it exists or let it dissolve away. And that first night, I'm sure it was like, oh my God, I'm back on camera again. I'm all mic'd up and all these people are here. So yeah, but then I think after a couple of days, that kind of just fades away and then everyone just becomes very, very normal in who they are.
Well, of course, one of the prominent guys on the show, besides you, was Chad. Now, tell us about Chad. Was he as much of a villain in person as we saw on TV?
I would say Chad was very accurately portrayed.
Okay.
This is the way that I describe Chad. I think Chad is a bit socially inept. I don't think that he had any business being on a television show that showcases personality, because I don't think that he truly knows who he is. And if you don't know who you are, especially in that environment where everything is compressed so much, then you're going to come across either extremely inauthentic or just crazy. And what happens with people that don't really know who they are, they start to pretend, they start to act like something that they think they're supposed to be. And I think that Chad was doing that. I think Chad thought, you know, I'm the big tough guy that doesn't care about any of these other people. I'm here just for the girl. And everyone was just like, you know, this whole thing is about building relationships. It's about building relationships with JoJo, but then it's also about building relationships with the people that you're living with. And it's so funny to me because every season of The Bachelorette, there's always some jabroni that goes in there and says, I don't care about these guys or I don't care about the rest of these girls, and I'm just going to focus on the main character and I'm going to get to know them, and that's all that really matters. But if this whole thing is a microcosm of real life, and you're supposed to be interacting as if it were happening outside of the Bachelor Mansion, you would never want to date someone that couldn't get along with your friends, right? Like,
right.
You'd be like, that person's crazy because I can't bring them around my friends and my family. So the thought process of going into that being like, I'm not going to be friends with any of these guys, or I hate all these different girls, like, that is a horrible way to play the game because it's not viable on the outside. So he was doomed to fail from the beginning. You know, honestly, he had a hard road. His mother passed away 6 months prior. He had vocalized to me that he really only kind of confided in her about hard decisions and life maneuvers and that kind of thing. And then when she left, he was kind of left alone. And I felt for him. But at the end of the day, everyone there has in some way or another, and everyone in the world has suffered some sort of loss, and there's always tragedies in everyone's family, and it doesn't kind of give you the right to be an ass. It's not an excuse either. And first, as compassionate as I tried to be with Chad, he would just continually disappoint all of us with the things he would say, and then he would get kind of cornered. And I think that the only way he felt he could work his way out of that corner would be to lash out and to be like really, really aggressive. And at times it came across really, really scary. And I just wish that he hadn't come on the show because he wasn't built for it. He wasn't socially ready for something like that. And all it ended up doing was give the crazy guy a bunch of airtime And then adversely, it just took away airtime from really, really good people,
right.
But then showcased those really, really good people in kind of a negative light because we were kind of always attacking him. And that sucks because all the people that watch a show had to see the bad in us and not the good.
And also, how frustrating was it that JoJo was not seeing Chad the way all you guys were experiencing him?
Well, the problem is that she's not there for so much stuff. You know, she's secluded just like we're secluded. She doesn't get to sit in a control room and watch us interact in the house. So it made total sense that she didn't know what was really going on. And when you watch the show back, like, that's what's wonderful about my experience right now is I'm watching it back, seeing how she's dealing with Chad and how Chad was kind of interacting with her. Like, he was really good at just, you know, seeming compassionate and caring just to her. So I'm sure in her mind she was like, I don't understand what these guys are saying. This guy seems like a great guy. And I think we were all cognizant that that was happening, like that she couldn't see. And it was just, it did get a little exhausting there at the end where we're like, why are we still having to deal with this? Like, someone needs to kind of explain to her, you know, what is going on. And, you know, Chad ended up signing his own death warrant by, you know, by threatening Jordan. You don't do that.
Jordan? You think this is a show, and you think you're safe for now. But one day this ends. And when this ends, you go home. And when you go home, you think I can't find you? You think I won't go out of my way to come to your house? I'm dead serious.
You think I'm scared of you?
I think you should be.
All right, good one, tough guy. Once again, Chad is being Chad. He has mental issues.
That and also his confrontations with Evan. And
yeah, you know, well, Evan was funny because Evan, I look at social media and everyone kind of gave Evan a bunch of crap, called him a weasel and a tattletale and a wimp and all this stuff. And that couldn't be further from the truth. Like, Evan was one of the most courageous guys when it came to Chad. I mean, obviously Evan couldn't compete with Chad in terms of brute strength, but he could definitely best him in like a war of wits. And he did that like time and time again. And I think Evan's freaking hilarious. He's one of the funniest people I have ever met. And he is, yes, very emotional, and he wears his heart on his sleeve. Like, those are things that are real about Evan. But he's also, like, really, really funny. And I was thinking that he was one of the strongest, most courageous dudes in the house because he would be like, no, I'm going to go after this guy. Like, that sex talk date was one of the most amazing moments of my life. And I get a lot of praise for, like, not being a part of all the drama.
Right.
And I don't know, that's a part of me that's a little ashamed because I didn't have the courage to, like, stand up to Chad, which I could have done in an intellectual level like Evan did, but I just said I wanted to stay back. But Evan was truly one of the courageous guys because he was like, no, I'm going to take this guy on. This guy's being a jerk, and I'm going to do it in a really funny way and make him kind of look like an idiot. And I love Evan for that.
Well, in terms of JoJo, and in terms of a prospective wife, what qualities did she possess that you were particularly looking for?
Well, I've said it a couple times, and I think it was interesting to me at first. I'm not a guy that usually dates someone like JoJo. And adversely, JoJo is not a girl that usually dates someone like me. But I had the realization at some point that everyone that I thought was my type hadn't worked out. It's actually worked out really, really poorly. And maybe what I thought my type was not really the perfect person for me. And once I kind of was able to realize that, I started to realize that the things about JoJo that I liked are so much more important than the things that I thought I wanted in a girlfriend in the past. And I'd say the thing that stuck out to me most was her compassion. It's a really hard situation to be put in that world for her. And I know everyone probably is listening is like, yeah, it really must suck to have 26 guys, you know, coming after you and lusting after you. But there's a little bit of, you kind of have to be callous and heartless to do that, because you have to make people feel kind of cruddy every couple of days, right? You got to dump someone every couple of days. And all these people are putting their lives on hold, all for this opportunity, and it is a hard thing to be like, you're not worthy, you need to go home, and tell people that. And you could tell, like, by the time that I left, I think that her tears were very, very real when I left. You could tell it was really weighing heavy on her soul, and she was truly sad and sorry about what was going down. And I had seen it in weeks prior when people were leaving. And I think that's what I loved the most about her, was that that she cared and she, like, gave a crap, you know? It made me feel really good to be there and for myself having to sacrifice my time for her. Other things that you probably might not see was that she's really, really funny. She comes from a really good family. She's super sweet. And then also, it doesn't hurt that she's like one of the prettiest women I've ever laid my eyes on.
Well, of course, in the final show that featured you, you had a one-on-one date with JoJo. And you revealed to the guys that you hadn't yet kissed JoJo. Mm-hmm. Now, they seemed more supportive than judgmental. Was that truly the case?
I'm sure they were very supportive of me not kissing their girlfriend. there were a couple guys that knew that. Like Derek was my roommate, one of my best friends still. So some guys knew what was going on. But yeah, they poked fun at me, and I would have done the exact same thing, to be honest with you. if I were in their situation. But yeah, I don't know. I kind of like the fact that I got so far without having to kiss someone. It's kind of a testament to my personality, I think.
Well, what was that day like for you? You did some pretty wacky things and some very romantic things with JoJo on that date, that one-on-one date. What was that like for you?
It was a very pleasant, wonderful, nice date. You watch it back and they kind of put that awkward music in. But it wasn't awkward at all. Like, it was a very nice, we had a very nice time, especially in the beginning when we were kind of walking around that little street fair and kind of buying some stuff. And that was so nice to finally, like, just get to talk for a really long period of time. Because prior to that, it's all these kind of little snippets of time you get. And I really, really enjoyed that first part of the date, much more so than the second part, even though the second part was the time that I finally got to make out with her. but that was really nice for me, and I think for her as well. I think that it was good for her to see kind of who I was, because I was obviously I'm much different than all the other guys that were there. Now, the second part was really exciting, and I think it was tailor-made for me. I'm in, for lack of a better term, show business with a couple radio shows. So doing performance art is something that, like, I have never done but would love to do, you know? And so when we got to do that stuff, it was really fun. Like that running on the treadmill thing, getting shot.
Yeah.
I really liked that. And I also thought it was funny, because, like, it was like, they keep trying to kill me on this show. Vitamin Day.
That's true.
So yeah, I was like, God, they keep trying to murder me. And then when we were, you know, in that suspended pool, it was first of all, it was really, really fun. Like, we slid around and did that for a long time. It was just exhilarating. And then also, like, really romantic and, like, really beautiful. The setting was gorgeous, the music and the lighting and just what we were doing was just so odd and fun, and I loved it. Like, I loved that date. Obviously it ended poorly for me, but, like, I loved that. I look back on that moment really, really fondly.
There's something really sexy about what we're doing. It's dark and there's water and you're sliding and all I'm waiting for is for Wells to make the move. I feel like we are in the perfect situation to have our first kiss. That was the moment, Wells. That was the moment. We did it.
Right, when you were having that romantic intimate dinner and you were talking about past relationships with JoJo, how intense was that for you?
How intense was that moment talking about past relationships?
Yeah.
Not that weird. I mean, I didn't really love the idea of having to talk about exes, but like I knew it was going to be something that came up, and it was actually something that I had to talk to my exes before I left about, because I signed up to do a reality TV show. They didn't, but unfortunately their story gets pulled into mine, and so I had to make sure that they were okay with me talking about them, even if I didn't mention their name. And luckily enough, the ex that I talk about in that episode was like very supportive and was like, absolutely go and do this. This is something that you need to do. And who knows, you might find the right person. So I felt comfortable talking about it with JoJo. And I like my story. I like the fact that my ex and I have a good relationship and we're mature enough to say, hey, you know what? Maybe this isn't perfect for us. It doesn't mean I don't love you and care for you, but you know, this isn't the forever type of love. And I thought we were very mature in saying, I think it's time to go our separate ways. I kind of don't love the fact that was kind of used against me as like a negative, because I took so long to kiss her, and it kind of comes across as maybe like that I'm not a big romantic, or that love can fade with me very easily, or maybe never even spark in the first place. But to be honest with you, like, my story, I think, is a much nicer story of an ex than the I dumped my girlfriend right before I came on the show to meet you story.
Right.
Or, you know, or adversely, I cheated on my girlfriend last, or, you know, like,
so
that kind of rubbed me a little bit the wrong way, but I don't know. It was, I told my story the way it happened, and, you know, we were dating. I mean, technically, JoJo and I were dating, so she had every right to know about my past relationships, and I was happy to kind of tell her about them.
So when JoJo did not give you the rose that night, were you surprised? How did that impact you?
I knew, like, weeks leading into it that I was on thin ice, just because my relationship hadn't progressed as quickly as everyone else's. But I was also a victim of my circumstances. Like, I only went on group dates. And when you only go on group dates, you really only – you're just, like, hanging out in a crowd of people. And so it made sense that my relationship with her hadn't progressed as quickly, because I hadn't had like real one-on-one time with her. So I knew I was in a precarious position, and I knew I was kind of behind the eight ball, but I thought that my personality would finally shine through on that date and that she would realize that I was someone that shouldn't be let go. I think at the end of the day that like I was just too far behind the rest of the guys, and like I can stomach that. I thought the date went really, really well, and I thought that we made leaps and bounds that day. But to say that I was really surprised that she didn't give me that rose would be a lie. Like, I kind of knew. I knew that I was just on shaky ice. It was heartbreaking. That moment was heartbreaking. But I think like in her third word, when she says the word friendship, I was like, oh no, yeah. I'm being friend-zoned.
No. Right, exactly.
So like, yeah, like I knew right when she said like that, that word that I was going to be packing my bags out of there.
Today, I had to face the reality that you are an incredible human being, but I don't know if you are the person that I will spend the rest of my life with. So I'm not able to give you this rose tonight, but I want you to know how amazing this has been to get to know you and how much I appreciate you. I'm sorry.
So yeah, it was heartbreaking, but everything happens for a reason, and I don't wish I changed anything about my journey there.
So you wouldn't have done anything differently looking back in terms of changing your strategy?
What's that?
Changing your strategy or being more aggressive or...
Yeah, people ask me that a lot. Like, do you wish you had just gone in and kissed her earlier and all that kind of stuff? And part of me, yes. But then part of me says no, because that would be against my character. Like, I'm a guy that usually doesn't make out with someone on the first date. I like to get to know people. Personality is really, really important to me. And I went about it the way that I would go about most things. And I don't know. I'm proud of the way that I handle myself. My family is not disgusted in how I acted. So looking back, no, I don't think I would have changed anything.
Yeah, I think the term is you were a gentleman. And so what is your reaction to the reaction you've received from women in particular on social media?
People are really positive about me.
Exactly.
which is nice. It's really nice, because I know the internet can be very, very, a very mean place. It's wonderful that people are being so nice to me. I think that at the risk of sounding like a little pompous, like, I think that I was someone that really hasn't been on that show, whereas, like, I am just kind of like a very normal, attainable human being. Like, I'm a person that, like, I feel like a lot of people feel like they could go on a date with, and I think people resonate with that. So it makes me feel good that people, like how I acted. And that last date, they made it seem very, very awkward, and I think people were able to kind of realize that it wasn't that awkward, and I was just kind of being myself. So, I don't know.
So besides your radio show, post-Bachelorette, what are your plans?
I just need to get back to my shows. I mean, that's what I've done a radio show since I was 16 years old. It's like the only thing I truly love besides my dog.
That's right. You don't like cats. You don't like cats.
I don't like cats. I'm allergic to them.
Oh,
I'm sure they're wonderful animals, but I'm allergic to them. So I want nothing to do with them. And I'm not allergic to bloodhounds. So
good.
I just want to focus back on my job. I like to grow my shows. And I think that The Bachelorette will help that. But there's just nothing, you know this better than most, there's just nothing like seeing that on air light turn on and making a radio show. And that's all I want to focus on.
Good for you. And also, speaking of the internet online, where can people find out more about yourself and get in contact with you?
Yeah, so my full name is Wells Adams. So basically every social media is just that, at Wells Adams, all one word. I'm on Snapchat and Twitter and Facebook and Instagram. And then if you ever come to Nashville, I'm on air on two different radio stations, and you can kind of find out where those radio stations are via my social media.
Great. Wells Adams of The Bachelorette, which airs Mondays at 8 p.m. on ABC. Wells, it's been a tremendous pleasure having you aboard the TV Time Machine. Feel free to join us again in the future or in the past.
Jim, thanks so much for having me, man. It's great talking with you.